Welcome to Creekside Chats with successful multifamily real estate investors. Dr. Allen chats with successful investors exploring their journey from setback to triumph. Through this window, we glimpse the truths that inspire our guests to invest abundantly and flourish in all areas of life. And now your host, Dr. Allen.
Welcome to Creekside Chats with successful multifamily real estate investors, where we delve deep into the lives of our successful guests to learn the secrets of thriving to flourish abundantly in all areas of life. I'm your host, Dr. Allen. Today's guest is the co-founder of Bar Down Investments and House It Look. She has over 10 years of real estate experience and has been involved in over 40 million in transactions within both single and multifamily real estate. Through Bar Down Investments, she leads asset and construction management multifamily investments and has provided operational consulting for several other large multifamily owners throughout the country. Through How's It Look, she handles several million in high-end flip transactions annually. When she's not working on her business, she enjoys spending time with her family, plus enjoys competing with her horse. Wow. Welcome, Ashley Wilson.
Thank you so much for having me.
So is your horse's name Wow, or is it just Wow because you've got such a fabulous resume here?
Thank you so much. His show name is Wow.
Oh, cool.
And
cool.
It actually is because of his jump. He has an incredible jump in him. He's cool. Very athletic.
So are you a show jumper, a hunter, or an eventer, or all three?
I'm a hunter, but not in the traditional sense that probably people think of, like fox hunting. Uh-huh. I'm a show hunter, which uh-huh. means that for anyone who doesn't know riding, it's in a ring and the jumps are made to look like natural elements, but they're more forgiving.
Uh-huh. Well, cool. So how long have you been doing that?
I've been
all
doing that for over 30 years. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much my entire life.
Oh, cool. Well, what kind of horse is Wow?
Well, it is a German Westphalian. I used to live over in Europe. And while I lived over there, I would import horses from Europe to the US.
Oh, okay.
And I found a couple horses. His barn name's Rocky. So Rocky and another horse were my last two horses that I imported before moving back to the US full time. And I fully intended on selling both of the horses, but I really fell in love with Rocky, and obviously, as they say, the rest is history. So he is now part of the family.
So how long has he been with you?
I imported him when he was 3 and he just turned 7.
Oh, okay. So not that long. Yeah.
Not that long, horse-wise. For other people, that might sound like an eternity, but in the horse world, that's like a blink of an eye.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Ashley, let's get to know you. It's fascinating to talk about your horses, but let's get to know you. So if you can think back to a childhood experience that, as you look back on it, you consider it to be a formative experience that has really helped to shape who you are today. And your childhood could be anywhere from 1 to 40 or 50 years old. So whatever you consider to be a formative experience here.
There's two experiences that I look back on when I was a child that really stand out in my mind as huge influencers to the person I am today. One is a collective experience of having my parents support both my brother and myself, despite the fact that they were both working full time and that we did not grow up in, you know, a wealthy atmosphere. My family definitely struggled a lot financially when we were younger, and that never got in the way of my parents being supportive to my brother and myself in terms of giving us multiple opportunities. They put aside their own personal wants to provide opportunities for my brother and myself. And I think that's why my brother and I are not only in the position that we're in today, but that is why my ultimate goal is to put myself in a position to be there for my family and support my family, because I know how much of an influence it had on me to have my parents there for me at every event and also encouraging me, no matter what I did, to work hard and make a difference in the world. So that's one experience in terms of, I think that has really influenced my character. In terms of my mindset on the entrepreneurial type mindset, in I think it was fifth grade, we learned about checking accounts and how to write checks and how to balance a budget. And our teacher for this math section, what she decided to do is for the second half of the school year, we had to rent our desks from her, and we had to write a check out every month to pay rent. And obviously this was just play money. This isn't real money, but we had to write a check out, and then we would receive money through different acts. And at the end of this school year, we had an auction in which we could, but you know, use fake money to buy candy, real candy. And obviously the people who had the most amount of money were able to buy the most amount of things. And, you know, it's just a real lesson on, saving and how that can impact your buying power, along with, you know, balancing a budget and being fiscally responsible. And while that is a good lesson in itself, and I'm not trying to discount that, when I heard that we had to pay for a desk from her every single month, to me, that was a red flag. And I didn't understand why I was forced to have to pay her to rent my desk. So during recess, I went to the janitor and asked if there were extra desks at the school. And he confirmed to me that there were, but they were in really rough shape, and that, I would be able to have them exclusively. He wouldn't allow anyone else in the class to have these desks. And what I did is I created my own business where at recess I would clean these desks and prepare the desks, and then I would rent them to classmates for a discounted rate to undercut my teacher. And when she found out about this, that I was doing this, she evicted me from my desk. So for a couple of weeks, well, probably a week, you know, when you look back on your memory, everything feels longer than what it truly is. But she actually evicted me. I had to take all of my books outside of my desk. I had to sit on the floor for a few days while I got my own desk ready from this little shed area that they were storing these desks in. And then, you know, what was cool about that experience is I no longer had to pay for a desk because I had negotiated this deal with a janitor. No one could undercut me, and I could undercut the only business in town. So at the end of the day, I of course made the most money in the class because I was able to strategically figure out a way in which I could have a competitive advantage over what the teacher thought was the only game in town. So, to me, that's kind of, the first memory I truly have of being really creative. Since then, there are a lot of things that I've done that have mirrored that. I played Division I sports, and every coach I ever had said that I always found the loophole. Whenever I was given a game or a situation, I would always creatively think of a strategy that would give me some sort of advantage over everyone else. And to me, that is truly the first memory I have of doing just that. So I still see that today. It clearly has shaped the person that I am today, and put me in very advantageous positions that I don't know if I would be in otherwise.
Well, that's amazing. It's amazing, amazing instructor. I mean, what a curriculum, to start with. I don't know that I've ever heard of any other math teacher making math, so practical. And the other thing, of course, that impresses me is, your, assertiveness in going out to the janitor and, making arrangements. Where did that, not just the assertiveness, but the ingenuity and the creativity to actually think outside the box in that way, where did that come from?
I think it's a combination of my parents and my grandfather. My grandfather was a huge influence on my life. Like I said, both of my parents worked full time. And because of that, my grandfather always had to take us to all of our doctor's appointments and stuff like that. So all of our necessity type needs on doctor's appointments and, you know, being there after school and stuff like that, that really fell on the shoulders of my grandfather. And then my parents were really there for all the supportive activities like sports or piano or play or whatever, all the other activities. So there was a really good balance because they had, the three of them had such a huge influence on encouraging creativity. I've always been a self-driven person. I think that in terms of nature versus nurture, I think that when someone is born, the nature component is that there are certain people that are going to be more likely, if they are encouraged to be self-motivated, they're just going to be, there's an innate quality in which they're more driven, and it's the support system that brings that out even further. One quick example is when I was in kindergarten, I was doing ballet, tap, piano, and writing, sorry, those three. And wow. Everyone in my class started doing piano. And of course I felt like I was left out of this inner circle group. So I went to my parents and I asked them if I could take piano, and they said, you have no time to take piano. You're already in ballet and tap and writing. That takes up all of your time. We don't, you know, you don't have time to do that. And I said to them, well, I will get up earlier and do, and remember in kindergarten, and I said, I will get up earlier and I'll practice every single day piano before school, and that gives me time, because their concern was I had no time in the afternoon. So my response back was, well, I'll just get up earlier because I have time in the morning. So from first grade, they allowed me to try it for a month, and if I didn't deliver for a month, then they were going to cut the piano lessons. But I did it from first grade to ninth grade, where I woke myself up at 6 a.m. They never woke me up once. My parents actually didn't get up until 7 a.m. They woke up to me practicing the piano every single morning. So from first grade to ninth grade, I play piano, and it's all because I was just someone who was very self-disciplined. It's really was an innate characteristic, but they allowed me to grow that, that skill set. So that's why I think I'm a very driven person today, is because they really helped me mold that into being an expert skill that I possess.
Well, that question of nature versus nurture is always an interesting question. But yes, it certainly seems like it is truly an innate quality within you that has served you and served you very, very, very well. What's your birth order? Are you the oldest child? Or
what do you think?
I think you're the oldest. Yes.
It's so obvious that I'm the oldest. I think I'm like the definition of what Freud said when he was talking about birth order and, you know, talking about just developmentally how people develop. It's very obvious that I'm a firstborn child.
Yes, you're pretty stereotypical first child. Of course, they, you know, not everybody fits that stereotype, but yeah, you do. So interesting. It's nice to have those innate qualities in a person like that. Let's not go there. It's too esoteric. Let's talk about it's wonderful to talk about your achievements and successes, but all successful people know that in order to be successful, you also have to deal with setbacks and disappointments. So talk to us a little bit about a setback and disappointment that that you've had to deal with, and how did you deal with it, and what did you learn from it?
In everything that I've done, so when I first got out of college, I worked in pharmaceuticals. I worked in clinical research and development for three major pharmaceutical companies. And then after that, that's when I got into real estate. During my tenure in pharmaceuticals, one thing I always noted is that I had someone that was on the same track as me. And what I mean by that is we were of similar age. We were of similar intelligence levels. We were in similar positions. And we got promoted always at the same time. And one thing that was really obvious to me between the two of us is that I was always given the challenging studies to deliver, to execute, global clinical trials. And she was given very easy clinical trials to execute. So she would get a lot of notoriety because she would set all these records in terms of enrollments and, completion of her trials, you know, fastest possible. And I would be given all these problem child studies in which the challenges were overwhelming. And at the beginning, if you look at it in terms of a graph, we progressed at the same rate. I was fortunate enough to have managers who recognized the challenges that I was facing and still were able to see, you know, the forest between the trees kind of thing, or the trees within the forest, or however you want to say it, to recognize that I was still finding success doing it despite all of these challenges I was facing. So in terms of her progression, we progressed pretty consistently. And then it got to a point where I just took off. And she continued on this slow progression. And do I think she has the capability of the takeoff just like I did? 100%. She was not recognized at a certain level. She was no longer recognized because it was very obvious that she always got really easy things to deliver. And she was really good. And I think she would have been just as good if she had had those challenges. If the roles were reversed, she would have been the one to take off. But I think that mirrors very closely to real estate, is that you're kind of all at the starting gate with someone, with all different people across whatever asset class. And the people who face challenges and work really hard, they can either be at the same level or maybe a little bit a step behind someone who, where it comes to very easily. But there gets to be a point in time in which that experience of all of those challenges translates 10x, and it really puts you in advantageous positions to negotiate more challenging deals, because inevitably someone's going to face those challenges. So today, with respect to real estate, I'm an asset manager. And when I talk with other asset managers of large multifamily properties, they're always shocked at how short I've been in multifamily. And the reason being is because I have faced so many challenges on properties that they haven't even faced within their 10-year career in multifamily. So my ability to navigate rough waters is so much better than theirs, because I've already gone through it once, or I've already gone through it twice. I've already gone through insurance claims. I've already gone through a fire, building on fire. I've already done new construction. And when you look at that and you say to yourself, oh my gosh, someone who has all that experience typically is 10, 15 years into the industry. And you look at my tenure, where I've only been in the multifamily side, you know, for a little over 2 years, it's really shocking. Mm-hmm. And that is something where I know this is not a direct answer to your question, but what I would encourage all of your listeners is that sometimes challenges are a really good thing, not in the moment, but when you look back at the challenges that you face, it really prepares you very well to be proactive instead of reactive when the situation arises again. And you make your best decisions when you're proactive versus reactive. Mm-hmm. So, I look at all of the challenges I face, and I know this sounds really cheesy, but I really do. I look at them as opportunities. I look at them as opportunities to expand my knowledge and expand my ability to manage difficult situations.
Well, that truly is a good mindset. And I can look back on my difficulties and I can say, yeah, those are some of the best opportunities in my life. It's challenging for me to see them that way in the moment, though. So how do you see those in the moment? How do you actually look at those challenges and go, yeah, this is really an opportunity here?
I think my age has played into a factor early on when having challenges. I was very impatient with the challenges and getting out of the challenge. So it made me uncomfortable. And human nature is not to want to be in a situation where you feel uncomfortable. That's why humans like routine. Humans don't typically like change. Even if people claim they like change, in reality, they don't. They like routine. So to me, when I was younger, I definitely fell into the trap of being impatient. And someone once said to me that you should be impatient with action, but patient with results. And that kind of stuck with me because I thought to myself, okay, I really need to focus on self-control because I cannot, no matter how much anger, emotion, any adjective you want to use, control the situation that is unfolding before me, but I can control how I respond to it. And I need to be a leader in the situation and not reactive and emotional. So to me, that has been, if you want to talk about life lessons business-wise, that is the number one life lesson that I have struggled with the most over my entire working career. But it's ironic that we're talking about it right now. In the past few months, and I really think it's because of COVID, it's given me a lot of time to self-reflect, and I feel like I am just a different person now. I feel like I'm at peace with the fact that any challenge can unfold in front of me, and then I am well-equipped, both whether it's my personal knowledge or my network that can support me to help me get out of the situation. I just really feel at peace, and that peacefulness has manifested itself in patience. So I just feel that I have a better grip of self-control that I've never had before. And honestly, it has occurred over this whole COVID period.
Yeah. You know, I've talked to a lot of people in the last few weeks here, and a lot of people have said, you know, there's a lot of good things that have personally come out of this COVID for me. And a lot of it has been they've been able to spend time with family, and a lot of them, just like you, have been able to have more time in reflection. I don't know if you're familiar with the work that's going on at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in terms of mindfulness research. But it's a neural psychology department, and they're doing really some very interesting work in terms of mindfulness and discovering that it isn't just a new age woo-woo kind of thing, but that mindfulness is extraordinarily important for helping us to develop our brains in ways and means that that we want them to. So, yeah. Interesting how things have unfolded. I've never asked an interviewee this before, but I'm just curious. You probably taken the Myers-Briggs typology. What is your typology?
I've taken it a lot of times, and to be honest with you, I don't remember, but I obviously am extrovert on the one scale. I can't remember what it was. Honestly, I don't remember. The last time I took it was in college, but I was a psych major too. So I should know what I was, but honestly, I don't know.
That's okay. That's okay. I was just was curious. I would have guessed you were an I and probably a J. The other two, I'm not sure. But anyway, just was curious there. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, but it has been very interesting and intriguing visiting with you here today. Before we close, tell people how they can get in touch with you.
Yes, you can learn more about my companies at badashinvestor.com. So it's badashinvestor.com. And also on Instagram, you can follow me at badashinvestor.
Wonderful. Love the creativity in those names.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ashley, for being on the program. It's been very, very enjoyable. I hope we can have future conversations and get to know one another even better here. So thank you, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Creekside Chats with successful multifamily real estate investors brought to you by Steed Talker Capital. Steed Talker Capital works with both new and established investors nationwide, creating opportunities to flourish in all areas of life. As part of our efforts to make the world a better place, Steed Talker Capital contributes to activities and organizations committed to better understand the equine. These endeavors attempt to enhance the human treatment of horses worldwide. Steed Talker Capital, working for a world where all creatures, great and small, flourish abundantly. For resources to enhance your well-being through multifamily real estate investment, connect with us online at capital.steedtalker.com.